Hi everybody, Dwayne McCochran with the Community From Within Economic Development Podcast. And as I mentioned in previous episodes, I have a company I started called Good Boy Dog Treats. I make dog treats from the spent grains, which is malted barley left over from making beer at a local brewery. And tonight I'm just on my way home. I was picking up a load of grain. It's quite a heavy load, actually. The fellow was doing a double brew today, so he brewed two batches. And so I've got that on the back of the truck, in the bins. And nothing the truck can't handle, of course, but with a heavy load, I want to drive a little slower, make sure I don't ruin my shocks in the truck. So I'm going to take my time, and I figure I have some time here to record an episode of the podcast. I'm recording this. It's, what is the date today? 26th of August, 2019. And also I'm bringing some grain to some friends of mine who also have pigs and chickens, which is what we primarily use the spent grain for. As I mentioned before, the Good Boy Dog Treats is a way to recoup some of my costs for driving down here two or three times a week. So with this longer drive, I figured I might as well try to be a little more productive. Now, I'm in my truck, which is a little bit quieter, usually, than the car. But it just started raining, and I don't know if the microphone here will pick up the rain very much, or the windshield wipers. I hope it's not too distracting. I'll try to talk as loud as I can, and when I go to listen to this, if I see that it's too terrible, I'll not release it. But hopefully it'll be something useful. I've been lucky so far. I've only scrapped a few episodes due to sound quality. I'm a little bit worried about this rain. I don't know if I recorded in the rain before. I can't remember. Oh, it's lightening up. Hopefully it's... That's just a little drizzle. Okay. Let's, what do I want to talk about here? Oh yeah, okay, so one of the episodes I did scrap, actually not due to sound quality, but due to podcast host quality, I was talking about my favorite places in Cape Breton, places to see and things to do. I started out really enthusiastic, but it was a long, hot day, traffic sucked. And I was so demoralized and tired. By the end of the podcast, I realized that I could not rightfully put it out there because I sounded terrible and it was not convincing. It was almost like I was trying to convince myself at the end of it. So I was thinking about that, and I don't know where this came up, but recently I was thinking about a movie I'd seen many years ago and wishing I still had a copy of it. I thought I had a copy on VHS, but I have no idea what I did with it. I hadn't heard of the movie. I didn't know it existed, but then one day I seen it advertised on the I can't remember if it was satellite or cable television, that this movie was about to, you know, the channel guide. And the movie was called New Waterford Girl. And I thought, New Waterford Girl? Is that about, like, New Waterford in Cape Breton? I had never heard of this movie. And the fact that there is a movie possibly set in Cape Breton, I was a little excited about it. So I remember I put the VHS tape in. I set it to record. I couldn't watch it at the time. It was a It's one of those VHSs where if you use the extended play, you could record up to 6 hours. So I don't think I programmed the VCR properly, but about an hour before the movie started, I remember I hit the record button on extended play. So I would capture, you know, everything before and after the movie, but at least I would get it. It was on television. It was like two and a half hours on TV. Probably 2 hours. Probably edited too. I never even thought about that. But I recorded it and then later on watched it, and I loved it. If you haven't seen New Waterford Girl, it's just absolutely fantastic. And so I'd been thinking about it, and actually I was thinking about looking online to see if I could buy a copy. I haven't actually done that yet, but I got caught up on IMDb, the Internet Movie Database. IMDb is where you go to find out, you know, actors, what movies they're in, and TV shows, etc., etc. I typed in New Waterford Girl, IMDb, and I looked it up, and I found the director. Last name is Moyle, I believe. But I hadn't realized this guy did Pump Up the Jam, which is a movie with Christian Slater many years ago. And he also did Empire Records. Empire Records is like, that's one of my all-time favorite movies from like when I was late teen, early adult. I can't remember, 1995 it came out. I think I seen it in 96. I love that movie. I always love that movie, you know. And so I was, you know, in a way not surprised that this guy did New Waterford Girl, because it was just a really fun, enjoyable movie. And cast, you know, the who's who of Cape Breton actors and actresses, I guess, in some ways, and Canadian people. You know, I think Nicholas Campbell, is he in it? And Mary Walsh. Leanne Balaban, I believe, is the main character. And Tara Nairn Smith, you might know her from the TV show Corner Gas. I remember being really excited too when I seen Ashley McIsaac, the fiddle player. He made a cameo appearance in the movie. And because Ashley went to the same school as I did. He's a couple years older than I am. And just in general, it was just awesome seeing a movie set, you know, here in Cape Breton. And it was like, you know, what am I trying to say? It's a full feature production. The only thing like that I'd ever seen before was Margaret's Museum, which starred Helena Bonham Carter. And I know there was another movie many years ago called The Bay Boy, featuring Kiefer Sutherland. And full confession, I've never seen The Bay Boy. I think I've seen a part of it one time, flipping the channels, but I never actually watched the whole movie. But anyway, so where am I going with all this? Well, okay, well, there's a few angles there. Many years ago, I worked for a community development association that also ran a community cable television station. And at the same time, I was involved with the Gaelic community here in Cape Breton Island. And I remember being able to participate in a Gaelic filmmaking workshop. This is over like a weekend thing. It was hosted by, the person I think who helped organize and put it together, her name is Nona McDermott. I think she helped put that together, if I'm not mistaken. And, but there, a number of my friends in the Gaelic community were there. We made some short films. Actually, we used the old Super 8 cameras for some of them. It was fantastic. It was a lot of fun. And another friend of mine, Angus McLeod, was there as well, I remember. And they screened a short film that Angus and others in the local Gaelic community had started many years ago called Callum's Wake. Forgive me for not knowing the Gaelic. The Wake of Callum McLeod. Anyway, and there's been this under the radar Gaelic filmmaking thing going on for many years in Cape Breton. There's a recent one made in Inverness by a group, some people I know involved in there. And when I was working for that community development group with the cable TV station, I had all these ideas in my head of what I wanted to do and get involved with that. I later, at one point, wanted to start an internet television station. But I just, you know, go back to a previous podcast where I talked about A, alcoholism, and B, not treating myself properly health-wise overall, and that equals C, hard to get a lot of things done, not a lot of motivation. Great ideas, no doing. A lot of thinking, no action in the past. So, excuse me, I'm getting the sniffles here. I must, I get allergies 365 days a year because I think I'm allergic to air. Where was I going with all this? I wanted to tie this in all together nicely for you, the listener. Well, movies in general. Okay, so the movies set in Cape Breton, it's fantastic. You know, as far as economic development is concerned, yeah, like, there's always, you know, there's an opportunity there to develop your homegrown Gaelic based maybe film industry. That's okay. Yeah, that's what I thought of back then. Like, we all know Hollywood. We all maybe have heard of Bollywood, which is the Indian film industry in India. And then there's Nollywood, and Nollywood is the Nigerian film industry. If you've never heard of the Nigerian film industry, you got to look it up. I mean, it's so wonderfully creative. Maybe to our what we're used to Hollywood standards, let's say, we might not be so impressed with some of the special effects and things. But the point is, I think the Nigerian film industry is the second or third largest film industry on the planet. We don't realize that. Because the Nigerian film industry actually is, you know, it's not just Nigeria, it's all over Africa. I spent some time in southern Africa, in Botswana, many years ago. And, like, a lot of the movies and television shows you find on TV were Nigerian made. English language, a lot of times. And I was thinking, what about, you know, I don't know, Gollywood, the Gaelic film industry here in Cape Breton. I wanted to work on developing something like that. And it might still be possible. I think so. Let's go. Who's involved in the Gaelic film industry and TV? Let's get Gollywood going. But, I just in general, you know, the Canadian film industry is something special and unique, of course. But thinking about Cape Breton here, and so I mentioned the podcast and previously where I want to promote Cape Breton Island. So I thought today, this popped into my head, what about doing a couple episodes, podcasts, where I review a movie based on or set in Cape Breton Island? So I did some more searching. I did one on IMDb and just Googled. IMDb and searched Cape Breton. I went on Google and I searched Cape Breton films. And there's a list of about 10 or 12 that are there. The Bay Boy, Margaret's Museum, New Waterford Girl. There's something called Canada Vignettes, a special on the Men of the Deeps, the men's choir. There's some films I'd never heard of before. And then there's all those Gaelic films as well, right? So, And I guess the whole reason I got into podcasting, got into listening to podcasts, I was never into podcasts. Not until, I'm going to say, late 2016, the summer of 2016, yeah. It was May or June of 2016. I had had an iPhone for a few years. By that point, I remember I had an iPod before that, but I never listened to a podcast in my life. I heard the term, but I had no idea what it was or how to use it. But I was... Oh, yeah, so I had an old truck, an old Chevy 4.3-liter V6 engine, and the engine went on me, so I needed to change the engine. I had bought an old Chevy Blazer with the same size engine. I was going to swap out the motor. And so I had a lot of work to do out in the driveway, hot summer days. And I was listening to music, and I didn't have that much music on my telephone, but I got the idea, maybe I'll search for one of these podcasts, see what that's all about, because I'd seen the icon on the phone. I was looking for podcasts, trying to figure something out. I'm looking for topics. I had no idea what I wanted to listen to. And so I searched a few different things. I searched Star Trek. I'm a huge Star Trek fan. I've always been a big fan since I was a kid. I love Star Trek. I fell in love with Star Trek The Next Generation. And then from there it was, you know, Deep Space Nine, Voyager. And I went back, watched the original series. I watched all the movies. But where was I going with this? Oh yeah, so I searched Star Trek and I found there's several, at the time there were several Star Trek podcasts. I saw one there, it was called The Greatest Generation. And the tagline, it sounded perfect to me. It was their tagline is a podcast by a couple of guys who are a little bit embarrassed to have a Star Trek podcast. And thereby a shout out to Benjamin R. Harrison and Adam Pranica, The Greatest Generation Star Trek podcast. They did, what they do is they would watch an episode of the series, the TV show, on their own time, and then they would come and they would record together an episode talking about watching the episode, talking about it, reviewing it. And both of them have experience in the film industry, which is cool because they talked about things that, as a regular viewer, you might not notice or pick up on. But I started listening to that as I was working on the truck. And next thing you know, I'm binge listening, right? They had about a season or two in at that point, and I binged the whole thing. And then I was addicted. And now they've actually done an episode for all of The Next Generation, and they're into like season 4 of Deep Space Nine. And I'm listening to that constantly. So that was my first and podcast I ever got into. But anyway, so I got to realize after that there's so many other podcasts out there. That's what people do, is they review movies. So they'll talk about movies of a certain genre, or they'll talk about TV shows. I get a kick out of those of you might know Kevin Smith, the guy from Jay and Silent Bob, Clerks, Mallrats, that guy. He has or had a podcast for a while with a friend, and they reviewed episodes of Frasier. So anyway, I thought, you know, I'm not going to start a whole other podcast to review episodes or movies set in Cape Breton Island. And I thought, well, in a way, does that really fit in with this community economic development podcast? But yes, it does in my mind. This is my rationale. Because I'm talking about things set in Cape Breton Island. I'm promoting Cape Breton Island. And if you out there listening to this, if you've never heard of Margaret's Museum or New Waterford Girl or other movies that I'm going to review, then that might get you to watch them, and you might fall in love with those movies, you might fall in love with Cape Breton, you might come here and visit her. That's my rationale. I'm sticking to that. So that's my plan. That's a plan. You know, let's say there's a dozen movies, plus the Gaelic films. I could probably come up with about 15 podcasts just doing that. Over time. Not all at once, of course. I have to find some of these movies and watch them. And, you know, my point is I'll watch them, take some notes, talk a little bit about, you know, what I like about them, what I might not like about them. I think that would be fun. I think that would be exciting. What else? Oh. Traffic ahead of me, I gotta slow down. Okay. Oh my, okay. I just looked at my telephone quickly and it almost looked like the recording had stopped. I thought I wasn't recording after all that. I hope the rain isn't too bad. There's somebody driving ahead of me at 4 kilometers per hour. I don't think they know where they're going. They're looking for a parking spot. That's what it is. Okay. And now they're out of my way. All right. Thank you. I love tourists. I love visitors here. And I think it's important always for people here to be patient, you know. Just think about yourself. If you're somewhere you've never been, trying to figure a way around, you know, the traffic and where you're going. As I say this, I'm telling this to myself at the same time. I'm not always the most patient person. So yeah, I'd like to talk about some movies and talk about more about Cape Breton. New Waterford Girl is that's hands down at this point that's my front runner. That's my favorite. I can't see myself. I don't know. You'd be hard pressed to convince me otherwise that there's anything better, really. It's just awesome. From what I remember, my God. So that was, when did I see that movie the last time? It's got to be 20 years ago. I can't remember how. Wow. Oh wow. Okay. There's a very lucky raccoon in Mabu. Raccoon just ran out in front of me and he turned around the last split second. He's okay. That was a big raccoon. Sorry. I'm gonna try and think of what some of those other movies are to review. Interesting. Oh, there's one called Marion Bridge. That's another movie. I've never seen that before. There's one called... there's like a horror movie. At least in the list, I don't know. Is it actually set in Cape Breton? Something about a Valentine. My Bloody Valentine. A horror movie set in Cape Breton Island? I have to look into that. And there was there's an independent film, I think, that came out recently in Nova Scotia. I believe it's by, is it a Halifax filmmaker? The film is called Weirdos. And I don't think it's entirely set in Cape Breton, but I think there's a trip to Cape Breton in that. I think they start in Antigonish and they drive to Sydney or North Sydney or something. Oh, I full confession, I only seen part of that movie a few years ago. I have to look that up again. Totally off topic. There's a movie I saw, I think in 1994, 1995. It was late at night on CBC television. I'm talking 1 a.m. when it started. And I remember just being captivated by this film. I believe it was set in Canada. And all I remember is this dude driving around in a Volkswagen bus for part of it. I don't remember anything else. I was so tired. I couldn't fall asleep. There's something about the movie, just maybe it's the cinematography or what. It's been so long. There's something really neat about the movie, and you think I could remember the title, or I've Googled it so many times, trying to come up with something. I've looked at lists of Canadian movies. Yeah, I think it was an older film, like it wasn't made in the 90s. I think it was made probably in the 70s or 80s even. Yet to come across that movie. Maybe it wasn't even Canadian. Yeah, that's totally off topic. That's fine. What else is going on? Another thing, in case you're curious, another change in here altogether. but directly related to community economic development. I thought today another possible episode of this podcast, or maybe a series, could be, well, I talk, you know, there's different community development, you know, techniques and tools that I want to talk about. I mentioned that something called ABCD before, which is asset-based community development. It's a positive approach to community development. So instead of going into a community or looking at your community and trying to see what you need, what the problems are, you know, what the deficits are, you look at what you have and what you can make from it. It's basically based, you know, it's the same principle as the Antigonish movement of Moses Cody. And like Moses Cody, the priest who said, you know, you should use what you have to secure what you have not. So asset-based community development is about that. There's something called appreciative inquiry, which is, you know, it's one of the first steps tied in with ABCD. Is you sit down with community members, and in order to get the ball rolling, you ask questions to draw positive answers. So, you know, like, tell me about a time when people in your community rallied together and created something positive. And so you and I've witnessed this before. I've witnessed this in person where people start telling, you know, they're used to people asking them about the problems and how to fix them. When somebody starts asking them, telling them about the good things, you almost see a transformation, you know, in their face, you know, as they feel good about themselves and their community. And that's really important to do that at the very beginning. But something aside from all that is, how do you actually start a community economic development association? How do you start a community development group? How do you go about that? I mentioned before about how to start, you know, we talked about how to start a business, or how to, I talked a little bit about when I talked about government, you know, how government is just like a nonprofit organization in many ways. But government's just like a nonprofit group, but a nonprofit group is like a smaller version of that. And I talked about how, you know, you just need a couple people, and you sign the paperwork with joint stocks, and you fill out the forms, and you have your meetings. And it's so simple. But okay, I glossed over it. Why not actually, you know, do it? I mean, in the sense of doing it as a podcast, to go through all the steps. You know, in the Nova Scotia context, I can get out the forms that you actually need to do that, and we can go through all the steps and all the process. How to start a nonprofit organization, like a community economic development group. A charitable organization is a little different. Charitable status is granted by the federal government, and it's a more in-depth process to that. And you need to have a very specific focus. So like a broad-based community economic development group, that's not going to be as focused. You might not get charitable status for that. But if it's, you know, a community center, which is focused on the maintenance of a community center, a hall, a gathering place with specific, you know, specific mission, that does, something like that does or can qualify for charitable status. And one other thing that, you know, I have to learn a little bit more about it. I remember studying a bit about them in the past, but something out there called CDIFs, which are Community Economic Development Investment Funds. So, like, instead of investing your money in the stock market in private companies, you can invest money in a community economic development enterprise. I believe there's a few of them in eastern Nova Scotia. At least there were. And sometimes, for example, a community group might look at a CDIF to, well, how do I put this? I don't think this ever happened, but one local group, I remember, a local hockey arena, wanted to put together a CDIF to build a wind turbine. The idea being, if they could raise the money to build a wind turbine, by building that, you're talking like, you know, what, $1 million, $2 million project or something. By building a wind turbine, there'd be some money from the government grants and stuff available too, I believe, but a lot of money would be raised from private individuals investing in the CDF. That by building the wind turbine, including the cost for building it, the maintenance over, you know, 20-year lifespan, etc., etc., there would be like something like, you know, however many percentage return, and the non-profit group, the arena, let's say, would get that every year. They would get a, you know, however many percent, 5 or 10% return to put into the arena, and anybody who privately invested would get the same. They would get, you know, so many percentage points back, 6%, 7%, whatever it is. So, and CDFs can be used for other things as well, like a community enterprise, a community economic development investment fund might be just that, like a fund, and they can invest in many different ventures. And you have a business idea, you can apply to them maybe for funding for your business, and they can invest in your business, and you have to pay that back in the form of a loan and with interest, and that goes into the CDF, and the people who invested in it get their money back. Almost the same way as a credit union, I suppose. Now, don't quote me on that. I don't know if you can do that with a CDF. I don't know enough about them. I have to do more research on that before, so don't quote me on that. But that's how I imagine it. At some point, too, maybe we should talk about the difference between a credit union and a bank. Is there a difference between a credit union and a bank? Of course, general, you know, in general terms, yes, a credit union is a union of members. It's the membership owns the credit union. Some people might say the way, you know, credit unions operate today does not seem to be much different from how some certain banks operate. But I suppose that's up to the membership to, you know, if the members own it, they have to be able to direct it. Just like government, just like any nonprofit organization. I've talked about all that stuff before. I'd also like to look into in the future ideas for microfinance. You know, like, I have the big project here to start a business from scratch. But what if you just can't muster it? You've got some money, you did some hustling, you got some cash saved up, but you need $400. You just need $400. Maybe you didn't make the best life choices in the past. You don't have any credit. Nobody will give you the money. You don't have anybody to lend it from. You just need somebody to give you a chance at this good idea. You have a plan in place, a business plan in place. You know your numbers. You know this can work. That's where a microfinance institution could help. And I'd love to look into that further. And I did some research a few years ago, and it just seemed like, you know, the bureaucracy around lending institutions in Canada didn't seem to lend itself, pardon the pun, to making it easy for an organization to do some kind of microfinance program. Does that mean it's impossible or can't be done? No, it just means it might have to be done in a different way. Might have to get creative. I've been talking for 35 minutes, and I've talked about everything from microfinance to Margaret's Museum. So, I'll give your ears a rest, and I'll ask you to check out the website, communityfromwithin.com. Use the contact form, send me a message, send me a note, send me a question. This podcast is available also on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Google Play. Please subscribe. Leave me a nice review. 4 or 5 stars would be awesome. Much appreciated. And, yeah, that's it. Check out goodboy.ca, GOODBOI.ca, to find out where Good Boy dog treats are available. That's it, everybody. Have a great night, and we'll talk soon. Cheers.